Well, St. James has some tough words for us today. That's not mainly what I want to concentrate on at this moment, but I think it is a good thing to maybe think about reflecting on later, how James says to the rich, "Weep and wail over your impending miseries." I think he's imagining the judgment. And of course, we understand that wealth is not something bad in itself, but the understanding is that, well, if we are attached to earthly riches to the point where we are unjust to our neighbor or lacking in charity for our neighbor, then in the way that really counts, those riches will work against us rather than for us. And I think that very much agrees with what we see in the gospel today, where Jesus is saying, well, if your eye causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to sin, if your wealth causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away and enter into the greater and deeper riches of life and charity. But I want to talk about Eldad and Medad, because I think it's a fascinating passage in the book of Numbers today, and there is very much a parallel, as we can see in the gospel. In the book of Numbers, of course, the people of Israel, they have Moses, through God's power, has led them out of slavery in Egypt, and now he's sort of organizing the community to march toward the promised land. And as has happened many times over, the people are complaining, and Moses is telling God, "This is too much for me. This is too heavy a burden for me. If this is how it's going to be, then just please kill me on the spot, Lord." And so the Lord tells Moses, well, choose 70 elders and you'll share responsibility and you'll share the governance with them. And so he does. And apparently they're having this ceremony where they're all supposed to gather at the tent. You know, they had the camp where they were living, but then they had the tent where they had the tabernacle and stuff like that. And so gather at the tent to be sort of initiated into this group of 70 elders. And the Spirit came down upon them, and they prophesied, apparently meaning that they were just praising the Lord enthusiastically, moved by the Lord to speak on his behalf. But there were these two guys who didn't come to the tent. They stayed in the camp. And somebody complains and says, well, what are they doing prophesying? They didn't come like they were supposed to. Stop them, Moses. And I think the first lesson we can take is from Moses' example. He refuses to use the gifts that the Lord has given him to enhance and protect his own power and his own prestige. He doesn't try to prevent them from prophesying. It's as if saying, you know, asking me to prevent them is like telling God to forbid them to prophesy. That's God's business, not mine, is what is kind of Moses' attitude here, right? So I think there's a good lesson there for us. Another question that I've wrestled with, thinking about this passage, why did Eldad and Medad not come to the tent? Were they stubborn? Were they rebelling against Moses? Were they lazy? Or were they simply, I don't know, late because they were trying to get their children dressed, like before church or something like that? But I think the point is, well, we don't know. And maybe the Lord doesn't tell us, because whether they're to blame or not is God's business, not ours. And he nevertheless gave them and moved them to prophesy. And so maybe the lesson for us is that it's not our business to to determine whether somebody's life is completely in order before we decide whether God has something to say to us through them. And, you know, Moses, of course, says, I would that all God's people were prophets, would that they all would receive the same Spirit. And, of course, we believe that we have received the Spirit of God in baptism and in confirmation. And through faith and prayer in the Scriptures, that Spirit is with us. That doesn't mean that everything any baptized person says is necessarily straight from God, but that Spirit is there, and the Lord may well move us to speak His words on His behalf. And so when we get to the gospel, the disciples, as frequently they do, they're complaining, and they don't completely get yet what the Lord's lesson is for them. And so they're complaining that somebody's casting out demons in Jesus' name, but He doesn't follow them. And they also want Jesus to forbid them and put a stop to it. But Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. If they're doing great deeds in my name, then that's God's business. It's not your business to stop them, and it is a witness to my power. Now, we can take that and say, we can look at it on the level of the unity of the church, right? And we understand very much as Catholics that it is the Lord's will that we are united worldwide under the authority of the Holy Father and the authority of the bishops. That's by God's will. And that we owe obedience to legitimate church authorities in those things that God has commanded us to obey. But at the same time, like Eldad and Medad, we must not be intimidated into silence in areas where we should speak. It's God's business whether He gives a word to somebody for the benefit of the church. And so as the laity, especially in the days that the church is going through right now, just remember that your voice counts, and don't think that the institution of the church requires you to be silent, when even you might have to hold under scrutiny authorities like bishops and popes. And so let us learn the lesson that Jesus gives us today, and may our hearts be strengthened by the Eucharist to tap into that gift of the Holy Spirit, and may all God's people share in that Spirit. Amen.